This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Hey, congratulations, Jacksonville. You picked up your first win of the season. In a good game against Tennessee, in which they scored two first-quarter touchdowns. After that, that game got a little boring. But Gardner Minshew, 20 of 30 in a wet, rainy day, 204 and two touchdowns again in the first. And the defense did the rest. They got to Marcus Mariota nine times. Now, listen, I told you yesterday that the thing about the Titans is that their offense right now is stagnant. A lot of the reason is that their offensive line is terrible. But they're boring. They're not exciting. They're not electric. And they don't like, and this is the key, they don't like coming back in games. They don't like rallying. They like to establish themselves early, get a lead, run the ball, run the clock, play good defense. But that wasn't set up for them yesterday, as again, Jacksonville scored two first quarter touchdowns, and then Tennessee had to play catch up. The Marcus Mariota statistics are really baffling, because at 23 of 40 for 304, he didn't look all that good. And that's the other issue that's going on with the Titans. He just cannot elevate this team to something substantial. You've got to be able to play in all kinds of weather. If it's a little windy, if it's rainy, yeah, okay, we can understand some sort of statistical variance from the norm. But you've got to figure out as a quarterback how in the world you're going to win a game given the circumstances. If the running game's not working, if you're getting too much pressure on the offensive line, you've got to be able to figure that out. The offensive line didn't play good, and the defense for Jacksonville was really good last night. They limited Derrick Henry to 44 yards on 17 carries. All right, the Tennessee game plan was not going to work last night against Jacksonville's defense. But I think the biggest takeaway of last night's game was this. Gardner Minshew is a fun quarterback to watch, and Jacksonville's got kind of a Dak Prescott situation going on right now. They loved getting Nick Foles. Even though they were going to get Nick Foles for a couple of years, they loved getting Nick Foles. But this guy's really popular, and for the third straight week, he's played really well. Last night was a wet, rainy kind of game where you would expect a quarterback to be rather sloppy, and he was pretty good.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, so Thursday night football is in the books, and we get into this weekend's games. Again, Jacksonville picked up its win with a beat a down over Tennessee 20-7. So the legend of Gardner Minshew continues to grow.
Yeah, it does.
It does. He is popular. He's fun to watch. He's got the mustache. He's got an identity.
It's all about the stash.
It's really all about the stash.
Because he wears it well. Comparing stashes, I was looking at Vrabel's yesterday.
Right.
Not as good.
He doesn't wear it as well.
Yeah, it doesn't fit his face.
They showed his dad last night in the game. You know, he's becoming kind of a folk hero. He's played three good games for a rookie.
Yeah, why not, right?
Why not? I mean, I equate this to Dak Prescott, right? Cowboys had Tony Romo. Romo got hurt. Here comes Dak Prescott. Not expected to do a whole bunch. He's a rookie, right? Late pick. All of a sudden, the Dallas is winning some games. They look fun. They look different. You go, oh, look, I kind of like this guy. I kind of like him as my quarterback. And before you know it, Tony Romo's given a speech about how he's got to leave the league.
Well, I mean, if Nick Foles is going to follow in those footsteps, at least he knows he has a great broadcasting career in front of him.
Yeah, good point. He's a fun. People were really into this last night watching him play. It was wet, rainy, kind of a lousy night. In Jacksonville, but this kid played great. And on the one hand, look, Mariota looked terrible, right? He looked terrible. And you could go, right? Okay, it's wet, it's rainy, it's a windy. But then you look over at Gardner Minshew, and he's completing passes. Right? And he's not just completing short passes out of the backfield. He did that, of course, because that's what the weather dictates. Those are more high percentage passes you're going to complete, but he still was able to throw the ball a few times downfield on a rope, throwing some dimes. So, and look, that Jags defense was great. And they took advantage of a bad offensive line by Tennessee because Taylor Lewan is out. But that offensive line did Mariota no favors. There was one play where Jack Conklin backed into Mariota, and Mariota just went, oh, okay, fell to the ground. Nine sacks. I mean, you got to be ripped apart for that.
If
you're Mike Vrabel, you are tearing this team to pieces.
I would
nine
hate
sacks.
To be in that offensive line meeting.
Right. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, it's one of those where all five of those guys are going to be cut.
With as many holding calls that were in that game last night, come on. Mariota shouldn't have been touched. That was the other thing that was a problem in last night's game. There was the weather, two rather dull teams, despite Gardner Minshew playing. And my God, those flags. Tom Brady even said, I'm done with this game.
Well, he was the savior.
Yep. Because he slowed down.
Well, in that third quarter, not a single flag was thrown.
They stopped. So, once the league realized Tom Terrific didn't want to watch anymore,
they
sent the memo. Yeah.
They got word of that, and we're like, guys, okay, Tom spoke.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman just completely complaining about it on the broadcast. Mike Pereira trying so hard to stand up for the officials as best he possibly could. Look, guys, the league is telling them to call the holding penalties. What are they supposed to do? Just let them go?
Yeah, but isn't it one of those things that on every single NFL play, there's a holding penalty?
Yeah,
So some of them you have to let go.
You can't call them all.
Because you're throwing a flag on every single. I don't think there's a proper way to not hold when you're an offensive lineman.
There are times, and I mean this, and I'm a big NFL guy, have been an NFL guy my whole life. There are times where I say, watching the flow of these games, if it wasn't for betting and fantasy, this would be an unwatchable sport sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing because you look at the young generation, right? Look how they've turned on baseball. You know, they're just bred differently. They want things quicker. They're gravitating towards soccer. They like the continuous action. It's, you know,
In basketball.
The NFL can't stop plays every 2 minutes for this stuff. They just can't. They've got to figure this out. And this is Tony Dungy made a point on Twitter last night, and I don't know if it's the answer, but it's worth bringing up. He's saying, look, a lot of these guys are just not getting reps in preseason, right? So nobody's getting reps in preseason. Everybody's sitting out. And so when you get to game time, what happens is they're not ready. So they're committing all these penalties. That's kind of the feel of Tony Dungy's tweet last night was you got to get reps in the preseason to sort of weed that stuff out so that when you get to the regular season, you can go. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's the answer. Tony Dungy knows more about this than I do. I don't know if that's the answer. But I don't understand as a professional football player why you're holding.
Right, but on the flip side of it, if these guys do get reps, they're more susceptible to getting injured in a meaningless game.
Sure.
And I think that's the catch 22 to it all.
Yeah, they're not being held out because they're bored. They're being held out because you don't want them hurt.
Yeah.
There's no reason to play in a preseason game and have your big offensive tackle you're paying a bunch of money to twist a knee and tear an MCL.
See, we said it all the time. If you were to get injured, if you have a season-ending injury on the first play of your first game, that's acceptable.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we're completely fine with that. You know what? It just happens. You were playing the game. But if it happens in preseason, you know, towards the tail end or midway through the game, we're up in arms over it. Saying,
yeah, you're screaming.
We shouldn't have preseason games. This is what happens.
Why are professional football players holding on every play when they're supposed to be elite enough to learn technique not to do that? Right, the Denver Broncos are dealing with this right now. Garrett Bowles was a first-round draft pick. And he holds on every play, so much so that John Elway is now publicly commenting on how ticked off he is that this guy is holding on every play. He is getting penalized through the roof in the first, 2 years of his existence in this league. All he does is hold. Well, my God, where did that come from? right? Well, it comes from an elevation of play, right? Meaning not elevation of play in terms of your own, like, I've now stepped up my game. It's like, well, I was in college. I may have been in a system where I was the most dominating lineman and didn't have to hold. Now I'm in the National Football League where every guy I'm blocking is probably a better athlete than I am. And so I have to up my technique in a way to prevent myself from getting burned and my quarterback from getting slaughtered. So I'm going to have to hold. And if you know, that's the only way I can do it sometimes. Like, I'm not, you know, you're not going to be able to block Aaron Donald, right? One-on-one without grabbing something. So that's the problem with Garrett Bowles, is that he's facing tougher competition. So he feels like he has to do it. And I'm wondering if some of these offensive linemen are doing the same thing. They're just like, look, I don't know what to do, but I'd rather hold and get a penalty than see my quarterback snapped in half. Right? But it becomes a problem for the league in that if you officiate it the right way, we fans, we don't know what we want. That's the other thing. You guys, and I'm with you, we all want to scream and holler when there's no call. All want to scream and holler. But then when there's too many calls, we scream and holler that there's too many calls. There's no midway point. For every holding call you don't call because you want the flow of the game to continue, there's one side of the fan base in a particular game that is screaming that should have been called. So we don't know what we want, right? We want games to be officiated well, but at the same time, we want the flow of the game to go and so we can be continuously entertained. But it's a problem for the league because it's too many. It's too many. And Brady is... You know, Brady's point on when he says, let us play. Well, you know, my retort to that would be, okay, well, we'll let you play. Right. But don't complain when, you know, you're playing the Jets and they race off to a 70-yard touchdown, which there's three holding penalties that should have been called that aren't called. Right. Like, don't come to us after the game and say, well, the officials just kept their flags in the pocket the whole game. That's what you're calling for. Right, this, you know, this isn't prison rules for crying out loud. It's got to be some sense of order. But the players need to figure out a way to play this game without doing those things. Because as you said, we all feel like a flag could be thrown on every play. There's just too much interaction on the offensive line to think it's all legit. Right? There's got to be a holding penalty here or there. But my God, it's just the flow of the game gets dull. Then they you're right though. Towards the end, they just went, okay, keep going. Let's tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, they pretty much were, let's just get off the field.
And here was the other takeaway from last night's game. Leonard Fournette, whew, wow, he was terrible. And then he had this one big run, and in the middle of the run, this is how bad Leonard Fournette's night was. Leonard Fournette, as he was breaking off a 69-yard run in the middle of it, not afterwards, in the middle of it, Joe Buck is telling the viewers he had negative yards up until this point.
Yep.
While he's running down the field, Joe Buck is telling you he had negative yards on the day until right now. He had 15 carries for 66 yards. That means he had 14 carries for -3. That's a terrible night. Coupled with the fact that last week when they went for the 2-point conversion, he should have been able to plow through and get a 2-point conversion to win the game. Instead, he was stopped. Stopped by a guy like 30, 40 pounds lighter than he is. So he's becoming a liability. But Gardner Minshew was the show last night. He was great. He was great. I got another story that was written about Gardner Minshew last night and his dad that I want to get to because I think it's funny. And it just goes to show you that this is a cool family that I think we are now sort of adopting. All right, that's coming up next. We also have got to get later on in this hour, we'll get to Antonio Brown and the latest what's happening with him. It's mind-boggling, but it really isn't mind-boggling. That's next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on SB Nation Radio, at Tony D Radio on Twitter, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Prepare for road trips, especially this weekend. If you're following your favorite college or pro team and you're hitting the road, before your travels begin, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So if you're driving from South Bend to Athens, Georgia this weekend, or maybe heading to Columbia, Missouri, or Tuscaloosa, head to O'Reilly Auto Parts. So Gardner Minshew last night. All right, so at The Ringer, they've got this article about him today, and I thought this was funny. So last night in the broadcast, they showed Gardner Minshew's dad, and Joe Buck said that when they showed him on the screen, that this was Gardner Minshew, the original. And as The Ringer points out, Twitter reacted because people believed his name was, Flint, okay? But that's not really true, that his name was Flint because that's his middle name. His real name is Gardner. So Joe Buck was correct that his father was Gardner Minshew, the original. However, Gardner Minshew is a second. You saw it on the back of his jersey, Gardner Minshew the second.
Yep.
He's not junior. And you know why? Because Flint Minshew explained this in an article a few years ago that Gardner's mother didn't want him to be a junior because in Mississippi, if you're a junior, you're either going to be called Junior or Bubba, and she didn't want either one of those. That's pretty great. That is pretty great.
I like Bubba.
Well, she doesn't, and probably did not want her son to be named Bubba.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
So she said, you're Gardner Minshew the second. It also brings up a level of prestige, right? Because we think of people with the names like second and third, like Thurston Howell the third,
right,
that there's a level of sophistication,
yes,
to the last name.
That there's history.
Right, there's history. So the Ringer did bring up the fact that Gardner Minshew the second now is a little less cool, even though we were all thinking that he's super cool.
Yeah, but I mean, would you put Junior on the back now?
I wouldn't put Junior. Yeah.
No.
Because
in our hearts, he's the first.
He's the first. He's number one. So, by the way, this is a perfect example why those of you on the East Coast and some of you in the Central Time Zone should be watching Pac-12 After Dark. Because he was lighting up the Pac-12 and many of us just totally forgot and totally ignored it. Because it was late and it's Washington State. And maybe we were just like, I don't know. Doesn't seem all that interesting. However, they had a great year last year, and he led the nation in passing. He had more yards, I think, than Kyler Murray total last season. So now that he's in the NFL, he's now the darling of everybody. Because again, these stories are great. We gravitate towards these stories, don't we? We like these stories. Playing quarterback in the National Football League is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And when some rookie is doing it well, I don't want to put Gardner Minshew in the guy we've never heard of category, because again, he's not coming out of some small Division II school. He's coming out of Washington State, where he did lead the nation in passing. And if you were watching college football a lot last year, you'd know who he was.
He's not Nathan Peterman.
Right. He's not Nathan Peterman. That's a great point. Right. That's a great point. But it is cool to see this because, again, it's supposed to be very, very difficult. You know how difficult? Josh Rosen was a 10th pick overall?
Yep.
And he's getting the start this weekend for the Dolphins against the Cowboys, and he's about ready to get killed.
Yeah, he will be. He will
because his team's tanking and has nothing around him, and he's going to get slaughtered.
There literally will be a murder on the field this weekend.
Yeah, because he is on a team where there's nothing there, and he is trying to prove that he belongs in the league, and now he's on his second awful, awful, we don't have anybody around you team. And now he's going to still try to go out there and give it the good old pro try.
At least when he was with Arizona, he had a receiver to throw
to.
Yeah,
he did. But he didn't have any time to throw it to him.
No, that's true. But I mean, he had, you know, a Hall of Fame receiver. Who's he going to throw to with the Dolphins?
He's got nothing. Nothing.
God, I don't want to watch that game.
And the thing is, too, is in the NFL committee, this is going to investigate, look into the Dolphins, right? They want to kind of find out, all right, what's exactly going on here? And I don't blame them. Look, because this weekend, the Dallas Cowboys hosting this game at 2-0, Dak Prescott's got 7 touchdowns on the year. They're third in the NFL in passing. They're a 23.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
They're a 23.5-point favorite in the game. Now, look, the Patriots and the Jets are a 22.5-point favorite, but they've got their third-string quarterback in. If Sam Darnold is playing, the Jets are, you know, they're a favorite. The Patriots are favorite, but it's not 22.5 points.
Yeah, I would venture to say it would still be double digits because it's the Patriots.
Right.
You know, we're just sitting there saying, you know, the Patriots are this huge, gigantic juggernaut. Anyone they're going to play this year is probably going to be double digits.
And the Cowboys are, and that spread might increase.
Yeah.
By the time we get there's no point total. There's no point total I can think of right now other than like maybe 60 that would make me safe to bet on the Dolphins. The Dolphins could give up 59 points again to the Dallas Cowboys. Who knows?
And we'll see if they can get into the end zone.
Right. So here's the thing about tanking in the NFL, right? We've been saying this. It's hard to do with players who have no guaranteed contracts, and right, they're not on the same page. They don't want to lose. They want to win. They're all competitive, et cetera, et cetera. You tank in the NFL by doing what the Dolphins are doing. Anybody that's decent, you get rid of them for picks. You stock picks. We've seen this work in the NBA. We've seen this work in Major League Baseball. The Astros were a terrible baseball team for a long time. Built up that farm system. Get it going, right? Lose games, get a pick, moving on. Now, what are they doing? They just won their 100th game again, right? They're favorites to win the World Series. So it can work. But here's the problem that you have in the NFL, right? There's a term in golf where it's called protecting the field. And I know I've used this before, but bear with me. If you're playing in a stroke play tournament, let's say Ron and I are on the PGA Tour, and it's a stroke play event with 100 other guys, and Ron is in contention for the lead, right? And he is -7, and he's one shot back, or he's got a two-stroke lead, and I'm playing with him, and I'm out. I'm terrible. I'm just 17 shots away, right? But if I see Ron in the bunker ground his club, or if I see him mismark the ball, or if I see the ball move and he doesn't account for it, I have an obligation to protect the field. Meaning, I have an obligation to protect the guys he's competing against for the win by saying, hey, I saw you ground your club, or hey, I saw you not mark the ball right, okay? I have an obligation to do that. All golfers have an obligation to do that, right? That's how you get competition, and that's how you get a fair play. In the NFL, part of the level of competition is, as we've said this before, that the worst team and the best team should only be separated by a very slim margin, right? The Miami Dolphins are a terrible football team, but they still have the best football players in the world on their roster. They have guys on their team that would play for other teams in the NFL if they were released. They have plenty of players. If they were all released today and the Dolphins were disbanded, they have players that would be picked up immediately by other teams. But you can't have this because if you have a team that is just absolutely trying to put a product on the field that would tank games in whatever way possible, right? We're not going to set ourselves up for success. We're not going to put the best team out there we can, or whatever it is that you're doing. You're not protecting the field. You're not protecting the field. The Kansas City Chiefs want home field advantage throughout the playoffs, right? The Dolphins play the New England Patriots twice. I don't think they play Kansas City at all. So you have to at least put out a competitive product that gives you a fighting chance rather than laying down like dogs. Now, you may say, well, Tony, Patriots beat the Dolphins all the time. No, they don't. The Dolphins have won plenty of games against very good New England Patriots teams when the Patriots were humming along. The Dolphins have won plenty of those games throughout the years.
They won last year.
The Patriots don't always sweep Miami. I know they have before, but they don't always sweep Miami. And the Dolphins have to put up at least somewhat of a competitive product. And I'm not saying go out there and win, you know, 10 games, 9 games. Enough of a competitive project to keep the field somewhat level so that there is a competitive level of play in this National Football League. So when you're playing the Dolphins, it's not such an automatic win before we even get to Tuesday during the week that you feel like there is a little bit of an unfair advantage when the schedule says you get to play Miami and other teams you're competing with in terms of your record don't have to play Miami. And that's why the competition committee needs to look into this. They may find absolutely nothing. They may say, look, you can't fine a team for shipping players away for draft picks. You can't do it. So this is what you get. But at least take a gander at what the Dolphins' philosophy is in terms of their product on the field. SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. It's a beautiful Friday as we head into week three of the NFL, week four of college football. So as we continue along to the season, reminder, once again, our exclusive sports betting partners, Bet Online. And if you sign up today, you get a 50% welcome bonus reward on your first deposit. You can start betting on your favorite pro or college team. Heck, you can also bet on who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Every spread, every total, every winner or loser. Bet at Bet Online. Get the latest odd updates and payouts with our new sportsbook partner, Bet Online, and head over there to use your mobile device to join today and use the promo code SBNation55. Get your 50% welcome bonus. Get into all the action today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So, Antonio Brown, how do we want to set this up? Because there's a lot to digest on the latest from the Antonio Brown saga.
I don't know.
This is let's attack it from this angle.
I say start from the middle and work your way outwards.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter which direction you go.
So, RobertClumcoSI.com has a story that says that in the latest Antonio Brown accuser has received a text message in which she basically says it's a threat against her. In a chain of other people on a text message, a number that was associated to Antonio Brown when she was painting for him a couple of years ago popped up, not only with a message to her about how she made up a beep beep story to the world, but also he directed other people to investigate her on this text message chain. And even included a picture of her and her two kids. Now, was it Antonio Brown? It's the number that he gave her. That's the only thing you can say. Maybe somebody else got it and did it, but it is the number that she associated with Antonio Brown within the text. I don't know what that means. I don't know how else to put it, but that's basically in legality. That's basically how you would point it out. You can't say Antonio Brown sent the text. The only thing you can say is a phone number once associated with Antonio Brown sent this text. Now, I will say, just my thought, it's written in the same style as Antonio Brown's previous text. Okay?
What do you mean written in the same style,
like it
Tony?
It needs kind of a translator, because he goes on like, he doesn't use punctuation. He's like whatever people, my daughter sends text messages like this.
Right.
It's always short words, and I'm like, please, use capitalization and punctuation and paragraphs if you could. I know it sounds weird, but I got to follow you in some capacity. When you're telling me you're staying after school to go to the volleyball game, I don't need to like look at it as some sort of secret code.
Or look at it as a ransom note.
Right.
Because
exactly.
That's how I feel most of the time. I'm looking at this like, there's a whole bunch of letters missing. I got to fill in the blanks.
Yeah, I got to fill in the blanks,
I don't
want
to work to read this.
And
I
it's just one big run-on sentence, right? Because there's no punctuation to it. So it sounds like, you know, it has the same Antonio Brown text feel to it. So anyway, she reported this to the NFL. The NFL has contacted her. They're looking into it. Antonio Brown, no comment from him, no comment from Drew Rosenhaus. But he did speak to reporters. Here's Antonio Brown talking to the New England media.
Is everything all right with you in the league? Are you in good standing to move forward and keep playing?
I'm super grateful to be here to play for Bill Belichick. And Tom Brady, you know, I got a lot of the offense to learn and catch up. But I'm excited and grateful to be here and to be a part of these guys.
Antonio, what's it been like working with Tom?
It's been a tremendous honor. He's been here a long time. A lot of details, a lot of work ethic. A great guy to be around and just inspire everyone here.
How has the process been to kind of get used to everything as everything's going on in your life?
Well, it's football, you know. I'm grateful to play football. Every time you walk in the doors here, you know, be your best for the team. So every time I walk in here, I just want to make sure that I'm preparing to give these guys my best.
Antonio, what have you heard from the league, if anything, about your availability moving forward?
I appreciate that question. You know, I'm just here to just focus on ball and look forward to getting out there in the home stadium and being with the team.
Boy, he doesn't
Who
sound like
is that guy.
He did not sound he that does not sound like the Antonio Brown that was yapping constantly on Hard Knocks this summer.
Man.
He really found the Patriot way.
It's almost like as if they gave him a bottle of Ritalin and said, "Take this."
Yeah.
You know, just dial it down like 5,000 notches, man.
Do you think you could say, if you're on the New England Patriots, you could send a message to Antonio Brown that's like, if it doesn't work here, trust us, it won't work anywhere else.
Positive. Positive.
Look at Randy Moss. He tried to resurrect a career, and he couldn't find, you know, he found, what, Tennessee? They borrowed him for a couple seconds.
Yeah, but, I mean, also, you know, you sit there and say, you know, you could go to Antonio Brown and use the story saying, you know what, if you listen to us, you'll get a ring.
That's right. All you have to do is act like this.
Abide by our rules. You'll be in a duck boat parade come February.
That's right. Now this text message that he apparently sent this accuser was done on Wednesday. If he did send this, Patriots got to let him go.
They do.
If he sent this, they got to let him go. They can't have this.
We're starting to see the beginning of the end. Anyways, I mean, Nike dropped him.
Yep. Nike did drop him.
No longer a Nike athlete. I mean, they're not saying it's based on all the allegations. I think they went with the helmet route or something weird, something bizarre, like saying, "Oh no, the person is fine. It was a business decision just to cover their own, you know what's." But yeah, I mean, if this is true, if this latest allegation is true, and you know, couple that with all the other ones, I don't see how you got to have like a moral high ground. Right.
Right. So this is what the text message says again. So it's a five person group chat or group text.
And you got the decoder.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying my best. But here's how basically it works. So again, the number associated with Antonio Brown first sends out a text that says, "Really sad you would make up a beep beep story to the world. Thought you had more integrity and respect for yourself. Must be really hard times to make up some stuff for money. Super sad. This is the girl who unfinished my painting in my room from blank. Super broke girl with a lot of kids. Such a shame." And then tweets out a picture of her and the kids. Then says, "This is her in text, Eric B. Let's look her up, her background history, see how broke this girl is from blank. Basically cried broke for opportunities. I let paint my room, couldn't finish. I flew out now to hear this. So sad." Then somebody writes, "Yes, sir, we'll do that. Those are her kids, Eric. She's awfully broke, clearly. According to the post, she was going to Meek Mill rally. I can't reach out to his team tomorrow to see if anyone knows her. She sounds like a celebrity groupie." This is the text message chain that she sent to the NFL, and the NFL talked to her within an hour of receiving this.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL is right now they probably have a whole division for Antonio Brown.
They've got to be. Now, again, I'm going to clarify once again. I don't know if Antonio Brown sent this or not, right? It's just the text. It's just the number that Antonio apparently had, I think, 2 years ago. I think she, in 2017, she did this work. So who knows? Who knows if what this is about? I have no idea. But it's certainly damning to Antonio Brown, that's for sure. And if he did send this, my God, man, one thing to stand in front of the Patriot media, and, like, what makes you think she's not going to run to someone and go, "Hey, look what I just got from Antonio." Let's say he did send this. What kind of judgment is this? That you're on the Patriots, behave, let this play out. Again, why is he doing these things when he's claiming he's so innocent, right? He's saying there's no story here. He says if the NFL looks into the story, they will find no story here. That they'll find women who are after his money. Okay, you've made that point. You may be right. You may be wrong. That's cool. But when you add this, it's like, do we have to protect? Do you have to be protected from your own stupid self if this is indeed you? Because the NFL can say, you know what? We really don't like the tone of this. Right? Whether you're innocent or not is secondary to the fact that I don't really like the tone of this where you called out one of your boys to look into her and posted pictures of her and her kids. I mean, who do you think you are? And I can see the league saying, okay, now you're playing on another level. If indeed you did this. I mean, my God. Again, you have an opportunity. Let it play out. Guys like me, and I know, listen, I know in my business, people are like, they want to jump to conclusions and they want to have their idea and they want to, but we have been consistent. This could be a situation where an accuser or two are legitimately after some money. Okay. That's happened before. It's going to continue to happen, but it's also possible that he did do this, that he did sexually harass both of them and the league has to take action. But if you're going to stand on that mountain and say, I'm innocent, look into it innocent, don't do anything that would make people go, well, we got a problem. Don't send text messages to people who are accusing you and sending pictures of kids to your buddies to look into their background. And don't send it to her. If you're going to do it, at least send it to your buddies that will, you know. But you sent it to her. What do you think she's going to do? She's going to run to the police/NFL. Idiot. But again, maybe this is someone who got the number and, you know, figured out a way to frame him. I don't know. Although that would seem to take a lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it seems like that'd be a lot of work to get the exact number.
Yeah.
And how do we even know if that number would have, I mean...
It's
very bizarre. It's just, well, it's, I mean, I, we need like Criminal Minds investigative team to get on top of this.
And again, you, because
wrap it up in an hour.
Because the NFL doesn't have subpoena power, they can't get the phones of the other people on the text chain to go, all right, she's claiming this is from Antonio Brown and his number. Do you associate this with Antonio Brown and his phone number? How about you? When you see this number, do you see Antonio Brown, or has he changed it in the last couple of years? And there's another number in your phone that's about it. Because they've got these guys responding to Antonio Brown as if it's Antonio Brown. And maybe somebody got in and faked those too. I have no idea. But it looks bad right now for AB. It really does. Because this is it's a really awful look, man. Especially with the kids. Posted a picture of her and her kids. And said, look into her. It is intimidating. I'm sorry. It is intimidating. Especially with the kids. When the kids are involved, you have no idea what this is.
Well, just when you say, you know, if you said it to anyone. If I sent a text message to our bosses and I copied you and said, yeah, you need to look into Tony's background.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what am I setting you up for?
Exactly. And it also has that sort of creepy, like, when you watch movies about... you know, drug trafficking, and they always tell like the pilot or somebody, I need pictures of your children and where they go to school because we're trusting you with lots of drugs. And you're like, oh God, it's like scary. Like it's got that feel to it. It's not a good look. And if you're the league, you're going to be like, okay, all right, this alone could cause a suspension. And Antonio Brown, he's not going to survive a smaller suspension. I just don't think the Patriots are going to go, yeah, with this, sure, he can sit out 2 games. For sending a threatening text in a time where he's under investigation. We'll survive it. I think the Patriots go, bye. See ya. Mel. It's a bad, bad look for AB. And if you are Antonio Brown and you're willing to stand up and say you didn't do these other things and you didn't do this, stand up and say you didn't do this either. And quick. Because the league's coming. All right, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, and you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's. Roll along on a Football Friday, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. This hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Michael on Twitter, how much better would it have been if his name was Bubba Minshew? Yeah, that is true. That would be great.
That would be more. There'd be more legend to it.
Yes, and I mean, very marketable.
We're all in love with Bubba Watson.
That's right. We love Bubba Watson. We love Bubba Minshew.
How many other great Bubbas have there been in history?
Bubba Watson, Bubba Smith.
Yep. Hey.
Yeah. Bubba.
You don't mess with Bubba Smith.
No, Bubba Smith. Bubba. I think that's it. Bubba Gump.
That it? Bubba Gump.
That's right.
Well, his last name wasn't Gump, though.
He wasn't Gump. I don't know what it was, but it was, I can't remember the movie that well, but it was the combination of the shrimp company. So, yeah, there's some Bubbas out there. Bubba Minshew. That would have been cool. That would, especially with the stash, Bubba Minshew. Yeah, there's a lot of marketing potential there. Jacksonville's got a fun situation. Rookie quarterback, it's fun to watch. And winning. At least last night. Should have won that Houston game, though. My God. Go for two with Leonard Fournette with the ball. Should have plowed it right in. But nevertheless, they're 1-2 with the cities. Because if you're Jacksonville, right, you've had this losing team forever, except this one year that they made it to the AFC title game. And now you've got this quarterback. It's fun. Like, Nick Foles goes out and you think, oh, God, we just got Nick Foles, and now he's gone. Now you get Gardner Minshew, and at least he's energizing. Hey, they may not win 10 games, but he really is fun to watch. He was fun last night. He was more fun than Marcus Mariota, who's still trying to figure out if he's a franchise quarterback. Ugh, terrible. But still, Gardner Minshew becomes the story on Thursday Night Football. We roll along on SB Nation AM.